This is the North Shore High School Football Preview Show. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell. We're brought to you this week by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Sylvan Street Grill. Our live streaming video high school football game this week finds Revere at Gloucester. Revere football coach Lou Ciccatelli.
We're 0-3 right now. Obviously, we'd like to be 3-0. We lost some very close games.
Gloucester football coach Tony Zarilli.
We don't get hung up on record too much. We watch them play. We think they're a great team. Offensively, they move the ball.
Live radio Friday night, Danvers at Lynn Classical. Danvers coach Sean Terrio.
A tough physical battle, you know, against a team that always, you know, is a tough physical team.
Lynn Classical and coach Tim Phelps coming off their first win of the season.
It was actually a really good team victory. The kids were really excited.
Saturday, live radio coverage. Lynn English at Beverly. English coach Chris Carroll getting their first W last week.
Yeah, nice to get a win and get the W under our belt. I'm looking forward to this week.
Meanwhile, Beverly cruising at 3-0.
Tell you, this kid Severance, I like him. He's a great player. I've been talking him up all week.
Panther coach Andrew Morenci. Commentary on the program this week from Lynn Item sports editor Steve Krause.
Beverly would be, to me, the perfect example. They got a veteran core.
MSO's John Squire with game analysis.
I anticipate that to be a war because this is a real big game for PB. They're 1-2.
And meet our Harrington Trophy Player of the Week, Sam Paquette from Marblehead High School.
A good week of practice, and we're just looking forward to go out and playing our game against Danvers. And
we'll preview this week's games just ahead on MSONewsSports.com. Welcome in to this week's edition of the Football Preview Show. We'll begin with our live streaming video game this Friday night. Revere at Gloucester, 7 o'clock kickoff with Rick Moore and Paul Ingram. For Revere, they've been unlucky this year. No wins, 3 losses, 3 tight games. This is Revere Patriot coach Lou Ciccatelli.
We're 0-3 right now. Obviously, we'd like to be 3-0. We lost some very close games where 2 games we could have easily been looking at 2-1. We missed a couple of conversions. Mm-hmm. Extra points have been our Achilles heel this year, as has the chasing of the 2-point conversion. And it's basically cost us 2 games, 2 close games. So we're fixing that. We're working harder at it during practice, obviously, and hopefully we can get the ship pointing in the right direction again.
As for how Ciccatelli sees the matchup Friday in Gloucester?
They're a good football team, as always. Coach Zarilli always puts a good product out there, does a great job. I think they're young. I think they're going through some growing pains, it looks like, also. So, you know, one thing about Gloucester, you always know they're prepared, and probably one of the hottest places to play is up in Gloucester, without question. So we're going to have to bring our A game. We know that. We've had a great week of practice, and, you know, we think we can be competitive on Friday night, and we'll see where it goes.
Revere High School football coach Lou Ciccatelli. Gloucester opened up play last weekend in the NEC South with a win over Swampscott at home. Of course, they're back home again Friday night against Revere. Gloucester High football coach Tony Zarilli.
Yeah, Revere's a good team. You know, don't get fooled by the 0-3 record. You know, they almost say classical. I think they got a little overmatched in Masco, but Masco's, you know, always a phenomenal team. You know, they always come to play. So in Medford, it was real close to the end. We don't get hung up on record too much. We watch them play. We think they're a great team. Offensively, they move the ball. They have 2 kids that can really run the ball, and Lopez and Rivera. And they like to move them around, put them at wide receiver, put them at slot, put them in the backfield, and give them the ball in all different situations. I'll tell you, the Rivera kid, he's got loose hips. He's tough to tackle. And you think you got him bottled up, and he'll turn that bottle up into a 20-30 yard gain. So we really got to be focused on stopping those guys and shutting down some of their passing game as well.
The Fishermen were hoping to build off of last week's win in this week's game.
Yeah, it was a fun game to coach because it's those types of games where, you know, you really have to do a lot of adjustments. You really have to change a lot of things, a lot of game planning during the course of the game. And it's good to see, you know, that the coaching staff can come together, but also that the kids can actually take coaching during the course of the game. They don't get frazzled. They listen to what you have to say. They make the adjustments, and they go out there and they execute. And I mean, that was the story of the game. We started it with one plan. We made a lot of mistakes. You know, they exposed a few of the things we were doing, and we were able to make adjustments, tighten up the defense a little bit, and the kids really went out there and executed the game plan as we were installing it during the game. And you know, that's football. Things change on the fly, and you have to make adjustments.
Gloucester High football coach Tony Zarilli. In our other broadcast game on Friday night, live radio coverage, it will be Danvers playing at Ling Classical. Now, Classical was a winner a week ago in their first game against Revere. Ling Classical football coach Tim Phelps.
It was actually a really good team victory. The kids were really excited. We played well. Well, we came out really strong, and especially offensively. And then, field position was a huge factor in the second half. We couldn't seem to, really get a sustained drive. And defensively, they kept pushing us back and back. And so, but at the end of the game, we had a 90-yard drive. We had a big stop on fourth down at the goal line, and then 90-yard drive. And it was really a hard-fought victory, and it was good for our kids to get it.
Phelps knows that this week's opponent will be very tough, even though they may know who's going to be getting the football many times during the game, running back Matt Andreas, but still difficult to stop.
I think, but that's like PB last year with Doug Santos. I mean, sometimes the kid's too good that you can, even if you know where the ball's going, it's hard to stop him. And I think he's a tremendous athlete. And, he can pass the ball if he wants to. And so, you have that extra thing in the back of your head with saying, well, is it going to be a halfback pass or something like that? And then he's going to line up a receiver. He's going to line up here. So, I mean, he's a tough guy to follow. You know where he is, which is good. But, that doesn't mean you can stop him or you can do anything about it. So that's hard.
For Danvers High School, they lost a tight ball game to Marblehead last Friday night in a big NEC North showdown game so very early this season. Danvers High football coach Sean Terrio.
Yeah, I mean, they were able to shut down some of the runs that we were successful on in the first half. And, we just made a series of mistakes, special teams mistakes, defensive mistakes that we don't typically make, and that were a little uncharacteristic and certainly hurt us in the end.
You'll just get them later on in the playoffs, right?
Well, that was the script last year. I don't know if that's going to happen again, but hopefully.
The Falcons should be flying Friday night at Manning Field.
Yeah, I mean, it's like any other game that you have to play in the NEC. It's going to be a tough physical battle, against a team that always, is a tough physical team. And with the loss last week to Marblehead, in order for ourselves to keep ourselves in contention, it's a must-win game.
Danvers High football coach Sean Terrio. Again, live radio coverage of the Danvers-Ling Classical game Friday night from Manning Field. Tim Kearns will be joining me for that broadcast. Other games on Friday, Swampscott playing at Saugus. That's a 4 o'clock game at Saugus on Friday. An important game to keep an eye on Friday night will be the Peabody at Marblehead game. That kicks off at Marblehead at 7 o'clock. Peabody coming off a tough loss a week ago to Beverly. However, Marblehead coming off that big win at Danvers. This could be a very interesting game. In fact, we'll talk more about the Peabody-Marblehead game with John Squires a bit later on in our program. Winthrop travels to Salem on Friday night. Salem High football coach Matt Bouchard sees a tough physical opponent ahead in Winthrop this week.
As long as I've ever seen or coached against Winthrop, I think that they're always physical up front, as you're alluding to, and they're well coached. When it comes to moving the ball, I think year in, year out, whether they win or lose the game, they're typically always offensively able to move the ball. For us, we need to be tough up front. We need to control the line of scrimmage this week to have success. And I think if we can kind of take the time of possession on our side, it'll hopefully come out on our side.
Salem High football coach Matt Bouchard. St. John's Prep is at Malden Catholic. Bishop Fenwick travels to Archbishop Williams. Hamilton Wenham is at Manchester Essex. And with Manchester Essex next on the schedule, Hamilton Wenham High School football coach Jim Pugh was very pleased to pick up his first win as a general head coach last week.
Very exciting. And it was the kids did a great job. It was just we've been improving week in, the last 3 weeks. Two tough games, a very good Bishop Fenwick team, and then a very good North Reading team. And but we hung in there, we played tough, and the kids are, they're just great kids. They're hardworking, they're focused, and they listen. Very easy to coach. So it was a great win, get us on the right side Friday night, and now we have another tough game and a league game against Manchester S. So we're excited this week, and we're looking to improve week by week.
Hamilton Wenham football coach Jim Pugh. It is Ipswich playing at Linfield Friday night, North Reading at Masconomet, Triton at Amesbury, Wilmington at Wakefield, Melrose at Watertown, Lexington at Reading, Somerville at Malden, Stoneham at Burlington, Austin Prep at Cardinal Spelman, Greater Lawrence playing at Northeast. Saturday afternoon in our broadcast game from Beverly, Lynn English will be in town. It's a 2:30 kickoff with Marty Smith and Tim Kearns. Lynn English coach Chris Carroll.
I think Beverly's a strong team. You know, first year coaching staff, but an experienced staff, seem to be a very well coached team. They're very strong defensively. We're very familiar with Hugh, one of their better defensive players, and you know, as he was a former Lynn English player, and he along with the rest of the defense are a very formidable front.
Lynn English scored an overtime win 1 week ago against Winthrop for their first win of the season.
Similar to week two in ways where offensively we carried the tempo during the game, and defensively we let up big plays. I mean, they had in three plays, it was two touchdowns. Kick return for a touchdown and an 80-yard or 90-yard run that turned into a, you know, 5-yard touchdown from the goal line. So I think offensively I like where we're at. A little bit of shooting ourselves in the foot last week again with negative plays or penalties. Defensively, we got to do a better job of preventing the big play.
Lynn English High football coach Chris Carroll. For Beverly High School, they are riding high following a tough decision a week ago against Peabody High. This is Beverly coach Andrew Morency.
Nobody wants to go into a game and say, I want to not finish drives, but I think it was important for us to be able to show that maybe a little humble pie. You know, we can't come into any week and think that we're going to come out to a fast start and just kind of roll. And on the other hand, being able to come back and live to tell the tale and do the things you need to do in the second half, that's hard to do for a high school football team. You know, that third and fourth quarter, we really turned it around, and that I couldn't be more pleased with that. And in the end, we turned out as the victors.
Beverly coach Andrew Morency on Lynn English Saturday.
Tell you, this kid Severance, I like him. He's a great player. I've been talking him up all week. I think that he's got a bright future for them, especially as a sophomore. And they definitely, in Lynn English, they always have good athletes, especially on the outside. We expect a formidable game. They're going to come to play, and it's a league game, so we wouldn't expect anything but that. It's going to be tough.
Beverly High football coach Andrew Morency. Again, that's a 2:30 kickoff right here live on Channel A on MSO News Sports Saturday afternoon. St. Mary's will travel to Arlington Catholic. Congratulations to Coach Matt Durgan this past week at St. Mary's for picking up the New England Patriots High School Football Coach of the Week. We do have a picture of that ceremony up on our website from a previous post this week. Newburyport travels to Pentucket Saturday afternoon. Newburyport football coach Mike Levine doesn't think that the team will have any trouble getting up for this week's opponent, Pentucket.
Oh, no, I don't think that's difficult at all because they've had our number. I mean, much like Linfield, Pentucket's beaten us. At least my current seniors have never beaten Pentucket. I mean, they've beaten us at least 3 years in a row. So our kids know that that's a good football team over there. They come out and they establish the run and they play smash mouth football and they play physical. And, you know, our kids know that if they don't bring their A game, you know, they'll need everything we got if we're going to be victorious.
Newburyport football coach Mike Levine. Other Saturday games, Lynn Tech at Mystic Valley, Georgetown at Pembroke, New Hampton at Pingree, college football, Endicott playing at MIT. This is Endicott coach Kevin DeWall.
Yeah, heading down to Cambridge to play MIT. It's going to be a good matchup. They won their game last week, so they're 1-0 in conference as well. And as we talked about last week, we're going one week at a time, try to get our 1-0 this week. And when you play a team like MIT, they're going to be in the right position at the right time. And I think they pride themselves on putting themselves organization-wise, offense, defense, where they're not going to be in the wrong place. They're not going to beat themselves. So we got to put the onus back on us to execute at a high level. The things we did last week defensively, they did a great job getting some takeaways. They tackled well. And I thought that kind of set us up, obviously pitching the shutout against Nichols. And then on offense, we're going to do a good job, hopefully, to try to put ourselves in the right positions and make some plays. Like Chris had a great first half and complete game last week, and hoping he'll do the same this week for us.
Both Endicott and MIT picked up league wins in their games last week. They're both 1-0 heading into this game on Saturday. Again, Endicott at MIT, Saturday with a noon kickoff. Just ahead on our program, Steve Krause, sports editor of the Daily Item, John Squires from MSO Sports talking about weekend high school football, and our North Shore High School Harrington Trophy Player of the Week from MSO News Sports, Sam Paquette, from Marblehead High School.
This is MSONewsSports.com. I'm Bill Newell with Steve Krause, sports editor of the Daily Item in Lynn. And Steve, welcome back. Good to see you again.
How you doing, Bill?
Great. Well, it's another week, and we'll talk some North Shore football here. But I got to pick up on your column that you had in Tuesday's paper on running the score up, and not with a North Shore team, but with Taconic, a team that came in to play St. Mary's last Saturday night. Their previous game, tell me if I have this right, they scored 72 points against an opponent. Yeah.
And they when they were up like 42 to nothing or whatever it was, they ran a fake punt.
Wow. Well, you know, I remember over the years, Rick and I would we used to think Bill Hamer was the gold standard on not running up the scores in certain football games when he had good teams and there were bad teams, and you knew when the score got to be such and such, boom, it was the dogs had been called off.
Yeah.
And you know, and in, since that time, I think we see that pretty much across the board now on the North Shore. It seems to me. Might be exceptions, but that 72, that's something else.
Yeah, you really have to try to put 72 points up. You know, I don't – anybody that's going to tell me that the fourth string was in there putting 72 points up, then there's an imbalance someplace with that school. We have what I would consider some real gentlemen in this area. We have Matt Durgan, who could be running scores up but won't. I mean, he put 40 up against Taconic, but turnabout is fair play, I suppose. But he never got to 40 against Lynn English, and he probably could have. You know, by the time the fourth quarter came around in that game, English was pretty well beaten. There was no need to make any more of a statement than what he made. Everett could probably do that every week to everybody. I mean, they 35-14 over St. John's Prep. That's about what the Prep did to them last year. So fine, but notice he didn't do any more than that.
Right.
I mean, he only did what he felt he needed to do, and then that was it. No more scoring for Everett. And you know, when you can go slice through somebody like butter and score 21 points in the first quarter, you know. There's a little decency involved in all of this because someday the shoe's going to be on the other foot. And I think most coaches understand that, and they act accordingly. They're good about stuff like that. But I don't have any sympathy for any coach that comes in here and gets pasted after he did it to somebody the week before. And on top of all that, trying to convince everybody it's because he didn't prepare them for the game. Come on.
Yeah, that was the Taconic's coach's response to losing – big to St. Mary's this past Saturday. But you know, I still think though that if you're up like 50 to nothing, that your team has to just take the ball and dive it, and you've got to stop, you know. So at some point I think a team could easily, you know, you could have those scores, but I mean, it's just not the right thing to do. And I think you're right. I think that, you know, you're at the 35-17 mark, 35-14. That's not running the score up in my estimation.
No.
Not at all. So, well, anyways, that's our feedback. That's a good backstory though. I did not realize this. I was surprised when I saw that score. I was surprised because they'd been doing so well, but I don't, maybe who knows who they were playing.
Well, they're supposedly, according to one paper out in Western Massachusetts, ranked third. I'd like to know who's one and two. Springfield Cathedral, or whatever it's called now. It's called something different. St. Francis or something like that. Okay. That's number one. I think they're one of the best teams around. Don't know number two. And they're number three. Maybe they'll be less than number three now that they've had their heads handed to them by St. Mary's.
Well, now that you've talked about Western Mass football, Steve, I don't know if anyone's still left listening here, but let's pull a note from more recently. There's a couple of big games this past weekend worth reflecting on. I think Marblehead made a nice statement this past weekend.
Yes, they did. Very nice statement, because he wasn't happy at all with the way they played the week before Rudloff. He was not happy with how they played. And they came out and they took it to Danvers, which is a very good team. And poor Classical, because Classical has Danvers Friday night, I'm sure Danvers isn't going to be in any mood to fool around. So we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, good win for them. I think that the conference, well, I think it's kind of preordained now that the conference is probably going to come down to Marblehead and Beverly. As usual, is going to be a huge game.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be coming up. I'll say one thing, though, that one other game I wanted to just comment on with you, Steve, was the Peabody-Beverly game, where Peabody really looked pretty solid. They looked good. And back to Marblehead, I mean, their defense is what won them that game, you know, shutting down Danvers in the second half. But I was very impressed with what Peabody was able to do and almost really was going to win that game Saturday afternoon in Beverly.
Yeah, it almost seems to me as if Peabody outplayed Beverly. Except that, you know, they're young, and one of the problems with having a young team is that young teams tend to make mistakes, and they don't always make them at the right time,
yeah.
You know. And Beverly is a legitimately good team, and, you know, Beverly would be, to me, the perfect example. They got a veteran core, and they'd be the perfect example to me of you give them the opening, they're going to charge right through and take it. It didn't have to be a big opening either. They're just going to charge right in and take it.
All right. Steve, anything else you want to share with us here about a little high school football or sports in general here?
No, just what's going on. We're getting into the point of the season where it's fun, but, you know, in the back of my mind I'm thinking, I just said that Marblehead-Beverly game is going to be huge. But you know what? How huge is it going to be? They're both going to make the playoffs. You know, the only way it's going to be big is for seeding purposes, because they're both going to be in the playoffs. They're both going to the same postseason. They're both going to be in the same division. And this is just one more reason why I don't like the system.
Well, point taken. I got you. All right, Steve, good talking with you, and we'll check back with you soon.
Thanks, Bill.
Steve Krause, sports editor of the Daily Item in Lynn, with us here on MSONewsSports.com. This is MSONewsSports.com. I'm Bill Newell, along with John Squires, and we're talking high school football. John, let's a number of games have been discussed here on the website in the last several days, but Peabody at Marblehead. Now, a couple of weeks ago, that didn't look like a great football game. Marblehead jumping out, bursting out on the season with a couple of strong wins. But I was very impressed with Peabody last Saturday over in Beverly, a game they almost really won, or maybe a game they should have won in many regards, but they didn't win it. Beverly came back with, 17 unanswered points practically. But anyways, Beverly beats Peabody, but Peabody established themselves with a very tough defense, just like Marblehead. I mean, it could be a low-scoring game Friday night at Marblehead, or it could be a high-scoring game.
Yeah, Bill, Peabody played very well the other night, and that was a game that they had to play well in because that was a barometer game for them. Obviously, they played very good defense, and the thing they have to do, I saw Coach Benincourt being quoted as saying that we got to get the offense on the field a little bit more. We got to keep them on the field longer to rest our defense, and then we got to put some points on the board. Marblehead's a very dangerous football team. And maybe last week they hit their bump in the road. I think they proved to me last week, and I picked Danvers over them, and they proved to me last week that they may be one of the top teams in the North Shore. I anticipate that to be a war because this is a real big game for PB. They're 1-2, and it's another game that they can turn their season around.
Yeah, obviously a big one, and you look at standings now, and you know a win by Peabody there does just change the standings right around you when you do think of it, because it puts them back in the driver's seat when you think about it, because they would then be 1-1. Marblehead would be 1-1 in the league, but Peabody's got the win over them in the league.
Exactly, because if they win the game, they're tied with Marblehead for first place, really, along with Beverly. Now, the big thing about Beverly has a game against Lynn English, if I'm not mistaken, this weekend.
Yeah.
And Lynn English, you saw Lynn English early in the season. They obviously played much better the second week, but they got to get things rolling a little bit here again, because I don't think Beverly is going to fall into that trap again. And I'm not sure they did. You were at the game, but they might have gone in thinking, well, Peabody's not doing that well. We don't have to. And Peabody came in roaring and really stuck it to them for almost three quarters. They were up 7-0. Now, I understand Beverly did everything but score. They kept plugging away, and eventually they got a couple breaks their way, and then they had the big field goal, and then things turned around with that final touchdown. But it'll be interesting to see what happens, because PBD, it's a big game, a big weekend for PBD, as well as for Marblehead. They want to keep pace with Beverly because I can't see Lynn English beating Beverly unless they really play on all cylinders and catch them sleeping.
Unless we can do this, the coaches won't want to do this with us. But looking ahead 2 weeks when Marblehead will play host to Beverly, and Beverly and Marblehead could at that time be undefeated.
Oh, absolutely. That could be the mythical championship game in the big school conference, in the North School Conference. So, and both of those teams, kids are kids. Don't think they're thinking ahead. The coaches are working like their tails off. That's the worst thing, being a former coach, having kids think ahead. You do not want to do that. But down the road, that could be a real big one. And then again, we talked about it before we got on the air about Dan Bauer being the former coach at Beverly. He knows all those kids, and now he's the principal at Marblehead. So it's going to be an interesting night for both of those programs.
Yeah, he knows all the kids, but you know, it's a different system over there now in Beverly as well. So yeah, so maybe Dan will get out on the practice field next week in preparation for the Beverly game. Bishop Fenwick under Coach Dave Woods off to a great start for 2016, but they're into that league play Friday night at Archbishop Williams, and that you know, league games are always big games.
Well, in that league especially, because there's only five or six of them, and as in the Northeastern Conference, but that's a real big ball game for them. They got a long road trip down there. Archbishop Williams comes in the game 1-1, historically strong in the league, probably one of the top contenders for the conference. Fenwick, from what I hear about Fenwick, and I do know a little bit about Fenwick, they have a great young quarterback, sophomore Corey Bright, who's putting numbers up on the board, both running as well as throwing. They got some good receivers, and then they got Doe as their running back in the backfield who's real strong. But they haven't had a real good game yet, which might be a good indicator for them, because they were picked to be one of the top teams in that conference, and I picked them as one of the top teams in the North Shore. Not that I'm any big prognosticator, but the thing is, they do have a good football team. I saw them play and dismantle Hamilton Wenham earlier in the season, and they still haven't played their best football game yet, which is good because they're 3-0, but this is a real big football game for them in that league.
One other game I want to ask you about, it's actually the first game on Friday, which would be Swampscott playing at Saugus with a 4 o'clock kickoff down in Saugus. And Swampscott's coming off that loss in Gloucester last Friday night. Saugus coming off the loss to Salem. What's the buzz in Swampscott this week?
Well, I think they were very disappointed in what happened last Friday night down in Gloucester. They had the ball four or five times inside the 20 and came away with nothing. They lost 35-17, but they put their quarterback, Colin Frary, put the ball in the air 41 times and completed 25 passes. He had over 225 yards again. Sean Larizzi had a great game receiving. He had 10 receptions, as well as some of their other key receivers, too. But they were very disappointed. And they went down there with all intentions of winning, having a shot to beat Gloucester for the first time in a long time at Newell Stadium. So they're going to come up loaded for beer this weekend. Saugus is not an easy team. Saugus is well coached. They're well prepared. I've seen them practice twice. They're in every one of their games so far. And they're just a little beat away from playing well. But I see Swampscott going in there prepared Friday afternoon, interesting 4 o'clock start Friday afternoon, and I see them really putting some points on the board.
John, you talked about one thing. My last question to you is players looking ahead, you know, to the following week. In other words, not focusing on the game this week, but kind of looking ahead to the game the next week. Do you have any stories to share on that of coaches and players and those kinds of situations where that, I mean, not specifically that did happen, but what's it's only natural that stuff happens, isn't it?
Kids are going to be kids. There's no doubt about it. And being a former player and a coach, it's very difficult when you have a possible championship game in the next week or two coming up. And I think that's the perfect examples are Marblehead and Beverly. Now, both of these teams are playing well, but the coach's job during the week, and I'm sure during meetings, and we used to do it during meetings, is make sure that we're just focusing on the opponent at hand, one play at a time. Coaches say the right things. Kids sometimes say the right things, but what are you really thinking? And that's a very, very human type instinct, because I'm sure these kids are thinking down the road. We want Super Bowl. We want that. And it's not just down Thanksgiving. We're talking about game coming up that's going to be a pivotal game for both of those teams. So you just got to try to keep the kids focused. And any talk at all or any chat, the kids are not silly. They're not stupid. If they're in the locker room, they're not going to be talking about their next game, because if a coach finds out, they're going to be running sprints up the yin-yang. Really, they really are.
You know, and what's funny now about the schedule too, John, is that in the past, you might have that big league game maybe week eight, or you know that's a great scenario if you do. You could have it week five, but your whole season is pretty much league in the old days, except for maybe your opening game. Now you think about Marblehead and Danvers last year. They played in the regular season. Marblehead won. Then they meet again in postseason, so to speak, in week whatever it was, eight or nine, whatever it was, and Danvers wins and continues on in the playoffs. And then on top of it, you also have Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving now seems like an afterthought, at least at this. But I think it's a little more confusing for the players, you know, because I mean, if you're a Marblehead player, you're thinking, okay, well, you know, we got to win these games, but then we're going to be in the playoffs, but who knows?
Yeah, you know, that's a real good point. You make a real good point. Many of these teams, I was looking at the standings for their divisions, many of these teams may meet again in the playoffs. Example, Swampscott and Gloucester. You play five or six games where it used to be eight or nine. You play five or six games in your conference. Swampscott's, I'm sure the kids are saying, oh, there goes our chance for the championship. Not necessarily, because You know what? Somebody might block Gloucester off. Probably not if Gloucester keeps playing like they're playing, but you could meet them in the playoffs. You could meet, one of the teams. A perfect example, Marblehead and Danvers are in the same division again. They could meet. Beverly's in that division also. Beverly could meet one of those two teams. So it's very interesting. And then the other thing you say, an interesting point about the Thanksgiving Day. I'm a big advocate of Thanksgiving Day football, especially for the seniors. Jerry Callahan writes a great article year in and year out in the Herald about your last football game as a senior. Many seniors who never had an opportunity stepping up. I can tell you stories about that over the years. Seniors all of a sudden getting a surprise start on Thanksgiving one and having great games. And that's the time for seniors. I'm a big advocate of that. And I think some of this playoff stuff has put a damper on that a little bit. But deep down, Swampscott wants to beat Marblehead. Lynn Inglis wants to beat Lynn Classical, et cetera. Peabody and Saugus may have a chance to beat Peabody this year. So it is still a big game, but you're right. After it, they all get a chance to play in the playoffs. So it's not that just that one team playing in the Super Bowl. You have five or six teams in the area that could be doing that.
Gotcha. All right, there he is, John Squires. John, thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Billy.
John Squires here on MSO, and I'm Bill Newell on MSONewsSports.com.
This is MSONewsSports.com. I'm Bill Newell, and we're joined by Marblehead punter, kicker, Sam Paquette. Also plays defense and some other positions with the team, and Sam, as our MSO Harrington Trophy Player of the Week, congratulations to you and the team on a huge win over at Danvers last weekend.
Thank you very much.
Well, it was a fantastic win for you, and I know you made some extra point kicks and also made a great punt in the rain right at the end, and it was a kind of a tricky – it ended up being kind of a tricky night right at the end, didn't it?
Yeah, it was very tough, but the rain did come down at a good time for us. While they were trying to pass the ball at the end there, but certainly the Danvers onside kick and that punt at the end were tricky.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Tell me about this year's team. I mean, clearly you guys have been so good in football the last several years, but lost to Danvers last year in the playoffs. So there was clearly a big focus on this game this past weekend, correct?
Yeah, there was a lot of focus. We had a really good week of practice, and we're just looking forward to go out and playing our game against Danvers, and we're fortunate enough to come out with the win.
It seemed to me, well, probably obvious, I guess, your defense, the team's defense, just stepped it up in the second half. Even though they did score in the second half, one of their touchdowns, but you guys were punishing defensively, I thought.
Yeah, we made a couple of adjustments to protect our middle linebackers, and they did really well in the second half, flying to the ball. Everyone was flying to the ball, making tackles, and we definitely stepped up.
How about on your team, if you could single out a couple of teammates that you thought, either whether offensively, defensively, that stepped up and had a great game Friday night?
Well, really the entire defense, I thought Aiden Gillis and Harry Craig, middle linebacker, played well. Jason Lopez at running back had a really good game. They couldn't seem to stop him much, and Drew Galley, quarterback, kept the ship moving.
Yeah, and at the end, it was like a ship out there. I think at the end, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me about how did you get into punting and kicking? How did that all happen for you?
Well, when I was younger, I played soccer and football at the same time, so it just kind of came easy to me. when I first started playing football in second and third grade, I just kind of stepped into the line of kids, and I was kind of a natural from soccer. So,
let me ask you, here's my last question, Sam, and that would be big games. I know you've been a part of some big games in the last few years, but is there a little extra adrenaline when you head over to Danvers for a Friday night in a game like that one?
Absolutely. Everyone's fired up. Everyone wants that revenge win in a game against like Danvers, who knocked us off last year. But in the end, we're all just out there playing football, so we try to stay as calm as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else, Sam, you want to share with us about the game that week or the team this season?
Well, hopefully we're going to keep it rolling. We're looking good so far, and looking forward to a big week of practice and PBD coming up this week.
Gotcha. Okay, that's Sam Paquette, who is the punter, kicker, and our MSO Harrington Trophy Player of the Week this past week here on the North Shore. I'm Bill Newell, and this is MSONewsSports.com. A special thanks to all of our guests on the program. Sam Paquette from Marblehead High School, John Squires from MSO News Sports, and Steve Krause, the sports editor of the Daily Item of Lynn. All of the coaches that joined us, and don't forget our game broadcast this weekend. Friday night, live streaming video, Revere at Gloucester, 7 o'clock kickoff. Live Radio Friday, Danvers at Lynn Classical, live on Channel A from Manning Field in Lynn. And then on Saturday afternoon, live radio at 2:30, Lynn English playing at Beverly. That's it for this week. I'm Bill Newell, and this is MSONewsSports.com.